Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, along with Dr. Tim Hayes, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Tuesday, December the 15th, 2015. Air calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. We're honored and delighted that you've chosen to join us once again today to have a conversation about this ancient technology called forgiveness, the technology where, when one understands it, they're able to reach inside themselves and remove the root of pain, the root of trauma, remove everything unlike the truth about who we are. And the truth about who we are, the most powerful way to discover that is simply to hold the newborn child. You'll know exactly who we are as human beings. I was talking to someone this morning, and you know, the brainwash of the culture, the depth of loss of awareness of the external world because of the internal accumulated masses of pain and trauma are just amazing. And to recognize that the mind constructs the world that we see, the world that we see is a picture, a favorite line of Jeannie's, a picture painted on the inside of our eyeballs by the resonance of content within us. And when we don't want to own the content, when we're feeling pain, trauma, or turmoil, and we aren't willing or don't know that that's ours, unwilling to look at that, to own that, then what happens is all that is moving inside of us paints pictures. And the pictures that show up inside of us are pictures of all the people that we're blaming for what's going on inside of us. And as long as I remain in that game of blame, my mind will create a total, complete hallucination about how what's happening inside of me is somebody else's fault. Until I can own that what's happening inside of me, what I'm feeling is my own, then I will tend to remain in oblivion. That is, I will go on and on and on about what they did to me and what they should have done to me and they shouldn't have done to me. All of those constructs made of the energy of blame that's moving inside of me. And I'll wonder why I attract person after person after person after person. This morning, the woman that I was talking with was in a great deal of rage and pain. And I asked a simple question. Well, you know, when's the first time you remember experiencing that? And she said, yesterday. And I texted back to her and said, now, come on, you're telling me you didn't know. And her text came back, and here's what she actually said. She said, oh, you mean in my life? We can be so oblivious that we can't even hear an external conversation as it happens, because when this massive energy and to get the idea that this is all about energy, you know, Einstein says on such things as matter, we've been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy. Energy whose vibrations are so low as to be perceptible to the senses, there is no matter. Einstein says, we live in this world of energy. And if the mass of energy in me is a mass of unconsciousness, then before I can get conscious, before I can create something different in my life, before I can change the creative direction that my mind is going, I have to be able to peel off, so to speak, this massive layer of unconsciousness, of unawareness, of blame. And as I begin to do that, I start to see the world a little more accurately and in alignment with the truth of what's happening. So for the average person, when they begin to collapse the blame and the projection, they get to start to say things to themselves like, oh my God, I've been through this 87 different times with 42 different people. Oh my God, I'm the one who was there every time. Maybe this is about me. Maybe it's not all about them. And once that starts to strike me, a door is opened to a totally and completely different life. Of course, it takes the ongoing continuation of the work. I'll oftentimes see people who they've lived a life of such trauma and they're in the middle of one of their big traumas. They come and do a workshop, they come and do a Y workshop and start doing worksheets, or they come and do an intensive, and they get rid of the current trauma. They get through it that way, and they're so delighted. It's like, oh, there you go. Now I've got it all figured out. And they go back to the same old way and the same old blame game. And then I hear from them again, a year, two, five, 10. I've seen it take as long as 10 years for somebody to come back and say, gee, you know, I'm in it again. I have another layer I need to clean up. Our invitation is that once you understand that you have work to do, that it's an inside job, then as you begin to let loose of the unconsciousness of blame, of hostility and fear, once you start to let loose of the game of victimhood, then a different world opens up. A different process moves forward in your life. And the process becomes one of conscious creation rather than of unconscious creation. So we're here to open the space for that conscious creative process. And we happen to be at a time of year where, because families tend to get together with the holiday season more often than they sometimes do in terms of avoidance, and it's difficult to avoid. And a lot of that unconsciousness, a lot of that blame happens within family systems. There's a young woman who came to an intensive last year and really moved through some major, major layers of work. Had been in a very abusive relationship, horrendous, painful divorce, horrendous trauma. I mean, outrageous trauma. And she recently sent to me a copy of a book she was writing. And in her book, and she's got a publisher for it, and they're very excited because she has the ultimate victim story. And she asked me if I would, you know, write a an endorsement for her for the cover. So I said, sure, let me have a look at it. And, you know, it was just such a perfect victimhood story, so titillating, so filled with trauma and abuse that, man, it would just go gangbusters in the world. None of it was true, however, but that was the story. Oh, did she experience what she experienced? Oh, yes, she experienced it all. And the feedback that I gave her, which fortunately she was open to, I actually took a couple of chapters, went through and edited it, and the feedback that she was open to was, this was my creation. I participated in this. Was the guy I was in relationship with insane? Yeah, he was probably pretty insane. Was I an innocent victim? No. And so the edit feedback that I gave her went along the lines of, and yes, and, you know, we came together so beautifully with our perfect matching bags of garbage. And in our bags of garbage, I could prove I had my story all made up about how it was all his fault. And, of course, I never looked at it this way, but he had the story made up about how it was all my fault. And every time I came up against a piece of my rage, my sadness, my fear, I blamed him, I puked it on him. And so, you know, he did the same with me and ultimately became so abusive, because now I realize the feedback I gave her was, certainly, he was under so much stress. Go back and look at his power person dynamic. Go back and look at your power person dynamic. All these things that you're feeling that you blamed him for, you knew decades before you met this person. And we bring together circumstances that will show us, if we're willing to get conscious, if we're willing to remove the energy of blame and start to whittle away at and forgive our fear, our terror, and our rage, then literally lifting that cloud, that massive cloud of energy, off of our perception, which is what forgiveness does. Remember that forgiveness means remove. It doesn't mean let somebody else off the hook because of what's there. When I start to use forgiveness to remove those massive clouds of unconsciousness that keep me in the blame game, then I get to start to heal all of the parts of my mind that hold trauma. And, you know, as long as we hold some form of trauma, my take, after almost a half a century of doing this work with people, is that life is so kind to us, because what life does is it hands us every opportunity that we need, that it will deliver to us someone who knows exactly how to resonate the cloud of unconsciousness that will block my perception from moment to moment. It will send us someone who raises that in us, and if we once start to suspect that what's raised within us, what's moving within us is ours, then it becomes a huge opening for healing. And so we're here to support that healing process. Some of you may be getting ready to go off to family functions that will arouse some of that unconsciousness. One of the first signals that unconsciousness has been aroused is that I'm in some sort of pain, and all I want to do is talk about you or them or whoever it is I want to blame. That matches what we call in this work denial. That's our definition of denial. When an energy is moving in me and I want to talk about somebody else, then I'm in denial. And the problem with living in denial is that whatever I deny, I dissociate from. I hide it from myself. And what I hide from myself, literally by pushing it down, I add energy to it, and it creates a high energy wave, literally sending out a signal that calls to all the world to send me somebody who will play this out with me. And you know that's true if you've ever gone into somebody's space totally committed to being loving, nurturing, and caring, and all of a sudden found yourself functioning like a mad banshee. What happened? What happened was you ran into that high-energy wave from that other person that matched your mad banshee, and up came that part of you, and you did behaviors that you would otherwise never do. We are drawn into each other's fields to show each other the parts of us that need to be healed. And we're here to support that process of healing. And so our call-in number, if you're on one of those stations we can't see you in, or you're in the chat room and you'd like to ask a question, or you've got a comment for us or something you share with us, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. And if you call in, and or if you're on the phone line now and you have a question for us, if you push 1, that'll put a little hand up in the phone or in the control panel, and Jeannie will introduce you by your area code, and we'll get to chat. So we're honored that you're here. Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today?
He is with us, and he is on.
Well, let's say hello to Dr. Tim. How are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Fabulous. What's exciting in the world?
Well, I was just enjoying the intro, and I was thinking about, you know, in line with your kind of prep or discussion or lead into, here we come into the holiday seasons. And as I listened to that part of your talk again today, I was thinking of when I was in graduate school. My graduate school was about an hour and a half to 2 hours drive from my home, where my parents still lived. My grandmother was there. And if I would go home for the holidays, my brother and 2 sisters would come. And this was back to the house I was raised in from 8th grade through college, and now grad school. My parents still lived there. And I was in grad school, so I was studying psychology and family therapy and doing my own analysis and really working and doing all this fabulous work, understanding my origins and my issues and all that good stuff. And I would get all cranked up to go home, looking forward to it, to be around friends, to be around family. And I remember this one time in particular, I was absolutely focused on going back and being that most loving, you know, that calming influence on different people in the family, bringing to bear all of my love as a member of the family and all of what I've learned as a psychologist or in training, as a psychologist in training. And I got home. I got back one, this was probably for a Thanksgiving. I got back in the afternoon on a Wednesday, and people were starting to come in, and there was all the buzz. And I was probably in that house about a half an hour before I had the urge to go make a good stiff drink, either scotch or a martini, whatever my dad used to have around.
Ouch.
And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. And so I ended up going out for a walk. And it was probably 30 degrees outside and overcast. And I walked probably for an hour and a half, trying to do my centering and meditation and whatever. But I didn't last in the house more than a half an hour. And all these things got stirred up in me. All these old bags of garbage. So that's what I was thinking of when you were doing the intro. It's just so clear now when I look back. And I used to, you know, back then, even in the grad school situation, I used to use the blame game. I used to use, well, it's because they did this, or they're doing that, or they haven't changed this, or, you know, especially as a young graduate student, I was learning all of the right stuff, and I knew what they should be doing to make their life better, and yet they wouldn't do it. And then that, quote, made me upset. And it wasn't until a couple decades later that I got introduced to the very pure, no excuses, all the way to the core observation that if I'm feeling it inside me, you know, I still remember the first time I heard you say this. You said it slightly different than you do now. You said, if I'm feeling something inside of me and I'm trying to decide, did I make this or did somebody out there make this by what they said or did? Well, the acid test for whether or not I'm making it or they made it is, am I feeling it? Because if I'm feeling it, I made it. Yeah, I'm creating it with my thought process, my choice of thoughts, what's gotten resonated in me from the past that I'm holding on to, my denial, etc. And I look back on that situation now with fondness of all that I've learned about how I can and do still create the upsets and the tensions in my life and how I now have tools for removing them. And not surprisingly, my relationships with every single person in my family are better when I take full responsibility for what gets stirred up in me during my interactions with them. So that's what got resonated for me, listening to your talk.
Well, as you say that, Tim, there's a bit of sadness that moves in me, lamenting the fact that for at least 2,000 years, I mean, where I got these tools, and especially the tool of forgiveness for emptying the bags of garbage, comes straight from the first century Aramaic words of Yeshua. For 2,000 years, the knowledge has been here that if I'm in pain, my thought process is off base, and there's technology for taking that bag of fear or rage or sadness or grief, whatever the disturbance is, and literally, just like, you know, right now there's a bag of trash in the kitchen, I can go over and I can pick up the bag of trash and I can throw it out of the house. And the technology for taking the trash out of this house called the body-mind unit or the temple has been known for 2,000 years. And it's just mind-boggling that close to 7.5 billion people are still running around the planet killing each other, raging each other, destroying their own and other people's lives, their children's lives, destroying countries, because they don't know how to take the garbage out. Forgiveness is how to take the garbage out. The only reason you will ever feel, you know, you say, I go home for the holidays and my brother does this and my sister does that and my dad does this. And blah, 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 blah. The only reason you feel it is it's there. And it's just, you know, you think about the lives destroyed, the relationships destroyed, the children traumatized, and on and on and on over thousands of years because this knowledge was hidden. And it's mind-boggling that people who could be getting up in the morning and living lives of joy and aliveness with spouses and children and neighbors and people in other countries could be thinking of each other lovingly, caringly, from the truth of being. And when you realize that isn't happening simply because a piece of technology was buried, it's insane. And certainly for me, as a motivator, when I look at that fact, it motivates me to say, well, we've got the technology now. Let's put it in people's hands, invite them and support them to use it. And I'm just honored and delighted that you're on the team that helps us to deliver that and to put it out there. And Jeannie tells me that she's got a couple of hands up, so let's see what our callers have to say. Jeannie?
Awesome. The first one is area code 847. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Cindy. I'm calling from the Chicagoland area.
Well, hey there, young lady. How are you today?
I'm good. I have a couple of things. So I'm following up because I called, probably about 3 weeks ago. I was having some big issues with my back, and I did a mind shifter, and it was very thing about taking time off of work. I did take that day off of work, and it was interesting when I did the mind shifter of everybody, I can't remember exactly, but approved when I take time off of work or something like that, and it wasn't the person or people that I thought would approve. So that was interesting.
Right.
And after I did that, it was a couple of days later, and my back healed. And I'm looking into the Dr. Sarno stuff because I find that very interesting. So I'm kind of working with those concepts. So
awesome.
That is good. So I just wanted to report back on that, and it was just really interesting when I did the mind shifter. It was almost immediate that it wasn't who I was thinking it was that was not going to approve of me taking time off. So I was able to work through that, and everything worked out okay when I was able to stand in my power and say I'm not working today because I physically can't handle this.
Fabulous. For those who, you know, perhaps that weren't listening at that point or haven't heard us have any discussion about Dr. Sarno, Dr. Sarno was a surgeon, a back surgeon, who, and I believe he's 92 or 93 now, still working at, I believe it's University of Buffalo, up in Buffalo, New York. And he has, as a back surgeon, the best definition of back pain that I've ever seen. And you can watch his video and he'll show pictures of people with bulging discs and cracked vertebrae and you know, this trauma and that trauma and this scoliosis and that scoliosis. And he says, none of that has anything to do with your pain. That pain in the back is caused by unconscious rage. And when people start to resolve their unconscious rage, their back pain goes away, no matter how, quote-unquote, damaged their back is. So just for folks who are listening so that they can catch up with what you're saying there, Cindy, it is pretty awesome when you start things on that level, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what it is, and I just wanted to share something else, too, for people who might be going through this. And it did work. It was almost, it wasn't funny, but I just kind of did a little ha-ha, but the next day I was laying there in bed. I had just woken up, and I was flat on my back, and I was just trying to do some internal dialogue to kind of move things off, and it was interesting when I thought about the unconscious rage, because all of a sudden everything that I was angry about started coming to light for me, and then I just kind of said a little prayer and moved it off and did some journaling and moved it off, but it was just almost kind of funny that here I am laying in bed and thinking about this concept, and then all these things started coming up for me.
Start surfacing. And of course, it would be all the things my mind was telling me I was upset about, but the truth is I was upset because in me there's this quality of upset, and when I start to face it directly, breathe through it, bring love present to it, then it dissolves. It empties that bag of garbage. That's all. It's just like night follows day, I empty a bag of garbage by doing the work, by using the tools. So, awesome. Nice work.
Yes. So, I'm actually calling because I'm having another issue come up for me, and it's a fairly big issue for me, but I've just participated or created a situation in which, with my boyfriend, the situation basically was my mom's birthday this week, and I had found out about this concert, this Christmas concert that was coming to the downtown, to the city. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to take my mom and my grandma? And originally I was thinking, you know, my boyfriend could go, my stepdad could go, everybody could go. And then I had not said anything to my boyfriend about it, but I had, you know, called my mom, called my grandma, said, hey, what do you think about this? And they liked the idea. And then my mom had decided that it would be fun to have it be just the girls, just me, my mom, and my grandma. And in my mind, I kind of went, but okay. So I had some fear come up about communicating this to my boyfriend, because in the past, I think in my mind I felt like I was leaving him behind or abandoning him, and I didn't know how he would take it. So I had constructed all these scenarios in my mind, and how was I going to tell him so that he wouldn't be upset, and blah, blah, blah. So it took about 5 days for me to get through all of this. And then he is saying to me, oh, it's, you know, another friend's birthday, and there's this event or this dinner that was on the same day. So then I ended up telling him that I was going to go to this concert. And, of course, he was very upset, and why didn't I communicate with him? And in turn, I'm feeling upset with myself that it was such a simple thing. And in the interim of all this, he's telling me, he's like, I don't care that you're going, but it's like, why didn't you share this with me? Why didn't you tell me about this? Why am I the last one to know? So I feel like I need to.
Yeah, I'll just offer that. And notice that you spent 5 days setting it up so that however it came out, energetically, you were sending the message that he's going to find a reason to be upset.
Yes.
So just notice how powerfully you created that. You got your result. How cool is that?
Well, it's cool, but it's not cool. Now I'm in a mess, and I need to change this.
Well, you know, the energetic messes that we create are also the spaces when we choose to heal and move the garbage out. To me, what's cool about it, what's really exciting and in truth is fun about it, is you got to see your creative process and you got to say, ah, so now I have a bag of garbage that I can throw out here and heal on a whole other level. To me, that is like supremely cool. Even if, you know, there's some muddy water and some mess going on, the fact that I get to clearly see the dynamic and I get to clean it up is monumental. And, you know, the other thing that comes to mind as you say this is notice that the only thing that created or brought upset forward for him energetically was he had a goal for you and you didn't achieve his goal.
Oh,
because notice as,
I hadn't
as,
looked at it that way.
Yeah. So notice that you thought he was going to be, you had it set up and got the energy of upset moving for him, in that you weren't going to invite him to the party. And the goal for him that triggered or that helped complete the upset for him was, you should have communicated with me sooner. And each time, and I point this out because this is such a perfect example of it, and for everyone, you'll notice that, you know, we're never upset about anything that happens in our world. We're only upset when we hold a goal that the person we're holding that goal for, ourselves or someone else, doesn't fulfill the goal. And that's why the core of the forgiveness process is so powerful. So the turmoil that's going on for you, Cindy, what's the goal you were holding for him? Or maybe the goal that would be a good one to start with is the goal that you had for your mom to have been okay with including him. What happens when I can correctly identify the goal that drives or recruits from the contents of my mind, my turmoil and my upset, and I cancel that goal, that's the key way that gives me direct access to the part of my mind that I need to heal. And to me, that's the exciting part of it all, is that I get to see the dynamics and I get to heal a part of my mind. And what happens when I do that is the tendency is for everybody involved to open a space for huge healing, and when the healing occurs, that's when a new level of connectedness, a new level of closeness, a new level of love shows up. And to me, that's the fun part, is that we can go into the deepest, darkest traumas, and when we're willing to identify the goal that we hold, and in the Aramaic language, remember the word forgive is shebag, and it literally translates to cancel. When I cancel that goal, It collapses the perception that my mind has created out of what that goal kind of recruits in me, and it gives me the chance to drop directly into that hidden part of my mind, and that, when I can bring love to it, is what heals that part of my mind. And as I do, I show up in that relationship as a brighter light. And I don't care what stuff's going on. If there's the least bit of goodwill and desire to heal and work together, what he's going to see in you is that brighter light, and it's going to be exciting for him. And if he'll do the same piece of work, no matter how much, and you know, the truth is, the more drama and trauma around one of these things there is, the more powerfully the light will show up when I get to the other side of it, and the more exciting it is to connect in that light. And in connecting in that light, by me holding that state of being, that light present in me, them holding that light present in them, together that creates a flush of energy, a flood of energy. You know, I started up my introduction, I was talking about this massive layer of unconscious energy. It's that flush of light energy that burns off the unconsciousness. And that's one of the most exciting things there is on the planet to me.
Yeah, okay, so I should just do some worksheets around these things and just watch.
That's what I'd be doing. Next layer, yeah. And, you know, you may, it's been a while since you've been to an intensive, you may put the thought out, you know, we're doing a 9-day codependence to interdependence communication practicum in February. That might be an exciting event for you both to come to together and do another layer of the healing process.
Okay, that's something to think about and present.
Cool.
Awesome. Okay,
fabulous.
Thank you. I'm going to do some worksheets about this, and we'll shift it. I will shift
cool.
it.
Cool. You absolutely
too.
Have my support. And, you know, it can also be a place just to take the tool, to step into the use of another tool. You know, for instance, in this scenario, just to lay out some other possibilities for instruction's sake, is, for instance, you had some energy you shared around your mom suggesting it just be the girls and not including your boyfriend. So that would be a great place. That would be a great place to take out perhaps the tool of responsibility communication and communicate with mom. Gee, you know, mom, I had this all made up that, you know, we were all going to go, you know, your husband and my boyfriend, and we were all going to go, and this is going to be an awesome time. And when you said girls only, that brought up some trepidation, fear, anger, whatever it was in me. And I realized that it's got nothing to do with you. You know, this is just mine, but, you know, I'd love some support in healing that. Would you hold the space for me to process through that? So that can be just a way to use another tool in this scenario. A third direction to go might be in communication with your boyfriend and sharing with him, again, using the responsibility communication tool. You know, the reason why I didn't share it with you is because I had fear that you'd be upset that I wasn't inviting you to the event, that my mom had come up with this idea of it just being the girls' day, and that's why I withheld communication. I realized that when I'm in fear, I withhold communication. So what I would love is support in healing my fear. Would you hold the space for me and support me in that? You know, there are many directions you could go with many of the tools, and hand in hand with your boyfriend there, that would be a space as well to share the commitment. And I realize that when I'm in fear of you, it's because I've lost the presence of love in me. And so here's one of the ways I'm going to restore the presence of love in me. When I think of you and fear comes up because I have a history with, you know, with males in my life, with people I'm intimately connected with, or, you know, maybe with dad, I have a history of fear and closing down communication. So here's what I'm going to do. Every time that sort of thing comes up in the future, I'm going to follow through with this commitment. I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth, to be true to you, to treat you lovingly, gently, and with respect. So that would be a way to step into using still another one of the tools in the process. If there's something that, let's say, advice I had to mom in that situation, you know, the advice might have been, well, gee, you know, I was setting this up. You should let me follow through with my plans. That advice, if I were to put that on a codependence to interdependence worksheet, I'd then be asking myself, when have I not supported other people in following through with their plans and change the direction of those plans? So that would be a way to use that tool. So you can, you know, bring all of the tools in various ways. And, of course, the bottom line always is to keep the breath moving, because that's the master healer.
Of course, yes. Thank you. That's helpful.
Cool. Fabulous. Well, I'm glad that you were able to soften and open to let all that back pain go, and that you're ready for the next level of work. That's awesome. We hold the space,
yes.
And we're glad to be on the team.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Love and blessings. Take care. Have wonderful holy days. All right, Jeannie, you had another caller?
Yes, we do, and it's area code 828. This might be Magda. You're on the air.
Hello?
Oh, it's not Magda.
828, you're on the air.
828, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, we hear you loud and clear.
Hey there, Michael.
Who are we speaking with? Where are you calling from?
My name is Jason, and I am calling from Starkville, Mississippi, but you might recognize the 828 area code. I usually reside in Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's an Asheville number, isn't it? Yes. So
yes,
what's happening?
Is.
What's
Among
exciting in Starkville, Mississippi?
I came down to my parents' property. They have a beautiful piece of property in the country, and neither of them are physically able to do a lot of the things that need to be done. So I'm taking time off, being self-employed, that's pretty easy.
Nice.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, when we come back to our power people, there are things that are coming up for us all the time. And I'm grateful that I've been dabbling increasingly with your tools over the years, and it's just so much more pleasant to be here, having that support. So thank you and the community.
Fabulous. Well, you know, it's a nice gift to offer aging parents support with some of the things that need to be physically dealt with. I think that's awesome, but I think a much nicer gift is the willingness to be responsible for the old hurts, the old traumas, the old pains, and to bring to them who perhaps, you know, don't have an idea how to do it, that awesome presence of love that we all are, and to give them that gift is even bigger than, you know, the physical help of being there, I think.
I could not have said it better. I have introduced them through your work. We watched I have a DVD of your, I have several, but I watched Laws of Living with them, and they have a more fundamental view of who Christ was, so they were not totally open to certain things that you said, and I am holding the space for them that they will see past the superstition of that and be more open to it. But I do, on a daily basis, explain, because they do respect me, regardless of any differences. And I do explain some of the key points that resonate with me. So I am sharing with them, without them actually fully being receptive of the work as a whole. but through, I guess you would call it osmosis, I see the change in them because I have worked to hold that space for them and for myself and everyone else. If that makes any sense.
That's awesome. Do you have access to a computer and the internet there?
I do. I'm on my smartphone right now.
Well, one of my thoughts would be that you might find it really powerful to show them the PowerPoint presentation on the forgiveness process.
And I have not yet found that.
Okay. I'll tell you what, Jeannie has just moved it, and so I'm going to ask her if she'll explain exactly where it is and how to get to it. But, you know, it doesn't have any reference to theological dynamics. It simply shows, in essence, the way the mind works. It takes 35 years of this work on forgiveness and condenses it down to 24 minutes. And so that might be something your parents could relate to and hear, and especially letting them know that it comes right from the first century Aramaic words of Yeshua might help to open a space for them. Jeannie?
Sure. So, Jason, if you're looking at the website, in the middle there's a bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
And if you click on that bullseye, it will take you to a page that says Worksheets to Print and Use. And if you scroll down just a little bit, you'll actually see the picture. It says human with a nine-bit mind, and it says it's an explanation of the Aramaic forgiveness process with a PowerPoint.
Human with nine-bit mind. Okay, I'm writing this down.
Okay, so if you click on that, it will take you, you actually have a couple of different options. You can just look at the PowerPoint itself. You can look at the script, or the third one says YouTube presentation with audio. So if you click on that one, the presentation will run automatically with the gentleman who created it speaking and explaining each one. So that might be the better one. It's also on Vimeo. So you've got several options there, but probably the YouTube one would be the easiest one to click on.
Okay.
And then if you would send me your email address, just send it to Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at Huygen.org. I actually have a document that I wrote up. There's a friend of mine. I was raised fundamental, and she was going to sponsor me doing a workshop in her hometown, and she was concerned that, you know, what I would teach would not be along the lines of what the fundamental belief was. And I actually wrote her an email, and it's a really lengthy email, explaining different points. And I'd be glad to send that to you. That might help you to be able to explain some of it to your parents.
I'll take any tools that you offer me. Thank you.
Okay, so just send me your direct email to jeannie@huygen.org, and I'll send you that letter.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Along the same lines, sister, she married a man named James, good man, no overt conflict with any of us. He had three children in a previous marriage, and the dynamic between he and his ex-wife is presently quite painful. She exhibits the symptoms of bipolar, or she uses bipolar as a drug. And I can identify with that because for many years, I used bipolar as a drug. Now that I understand through your tools that I have two sets of opposing goals, I have made huge strides and have not taken medication since I was a teenager. I started psychoactive drugs when I was 13, and it took me a long time to get past that, and I'm still, you know, working with it. I've been reaching out to her and to one of the boys in particular. He's 19, and she's much more receptive to me than she is the rest of the family because of my communication skills and because the bags of garbage that we carry about each other aren't so heavy. They've been quite open in admitting that they want to change their lives, but very resistant to look at themselves and do the work. And I don't want to present them with vinegar. I'd much rather give them honey. So if you could recommend some particular tools that I could begin with them, I would be grateful. I think the mind goal management sheet would benefit her greatly, but I don't know if she's going to have the brain cells to understand it. So if you could guide me in that, I would be grateful, and then I will just go back.
The mind goal management sheet would probably be a little bit heavy, and I don't know if you're moving a microphone around, but there's quite a bit of noise in the background. But the mind goal management sheet might be a kind of a heavy place for her to start. It's fairly complex. I would suggest perhaps going back to that PowerPoint presentation and walking through it and perhaps just sharing a worksheet with her and showing her that this is, you know, I mean, it's the PowerPoint is 24 minutes long. It is so precise. Bill Costantino did such a great job of putting that together and taking, you know, 35 years of my work. We went back and forth several times over the period of about a year to create that. And it just makes it so simple and straightforward. And then, of course, you can put forward the thing of, now, there's nothing here to believe, but here's the worksheet, and let me show you how it works, and just try it out. You know, here you've got a goal for your husband's former wife, for her to be sane and reasonable with him. Cancel that goal and watch what happens, and just, you know, watch how that just empties the bags of garbage, and she'll probably have the ability then to become more and more and more conscious in the whole circumstance and support him, because that's certainly a big load for somebody to carry when there's that kind of back and forth exchange. So that might be a good starting point. We are just waiting. We just finished editing a new 4-hour Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. And the first hour came together so succinctly that as soon as we get it back from the editor, we're going to put that on YouTube. And it's one of the best opening hours of the Why workshop I think that I've ever done. So if you keep an eye on the website, we'll be announcing or listen to the radio show. It should be, you know, hopefully, I think Thursday he started to work on that. So probably it should be within the next couple of days. And we'll get that up on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, which is Michael Rice. You can look there, and there are a bunch of different videos. But we're going to put that whole hour, it's actually an hour, it's I think 51 minutes or so, on the YouTube channel, and you might find that will be a helpful introduction for people.
Excellent. As you pointed out, canceling that goal to fix things is something that I've done many times throughout the day when I think about it, and I do it each night when I do the mind goal management worksheet.
Nice.
So, yeah.
One of those 77 times 70 worksheet issues, right?
Absolutely, as so many of them are. But you know, I'm so grateful to Creator for those. You know, give thanks for all things, not just for the good things. So,
yes,
thank
you
so much. And with that, I'm
just delighted.
Blessings.
All right. Well, thank you for your call. Delighted to be on the team, and watch for that video getting up on YouTube.
Will do.
All right. Blessings.
And just to clarify that, it's youtube.com/MichaelRice_why again. Put in Michael Rice, you won't get it. You have to put in Michael Rice underscore why again.
We can't link that to just keeping the why again off, keeping it simple.
No, it wouldn't let me. I attempted to do that when I first set it up.
Right. Okay, cool. And by the way, if anyone else relates to the conversation Jeannie was having about the letter she wrote about how this parallels and doesn't threaten the fundamental perspective, then, you know, you could drop an email to jeannie@yagain.org, and I'm sure she'd be happy to send you a copy of that letter. It's pretty powerful, actually. She sent it to someone just a few weeks ago and sent me a copy at the same time. Again, it's been a couple of years since I read it, and it's just really powerful at opening a space. And, you know, one of the things Jeannie is an awesome teacher, and so it's an awesome piece of teaching in that letter. So even if you don't have somebody fundamental you might want to share it with, you might want to send her an email and ask for it. I'm sure it's something that will likely end up in her book. I don't know.
Probably.
So, yeah, so we're down to about 5 minutes. The thought comes, Jeannie, that, and I don't know if it's appropriate, but you might want to share where you're going with the book.
No, I'm going to actually keep that
okay. Until
I get, I had been walking the other, I've attempted to walk every morning, and so when I was walking yesterday morning, it just came to me how to open the book, and so I had shared that with Michael how I was going to do it, so it's going to come together really well, though, I think.
Yeah, powerful. It's going to be really powerful. So, very cool. Well, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you have a question for us, if there's any way we can support you, if any part of the conversations we've been having don't make any sense or you'd like some clarity on it, we've got about 4 minutes left. So we'd be delighted to have you push one if you're in the phone queue. Or if you're one of those stations we don't have access to in our control panel or in the chat room, you're welcome to call that number, and we'll be having a conversation. Other than that, I'll just share that you'll notice we have no commercials on our show. It's all just about bringing the work forward and making it available to every mind, heart, and being. And while the travel workshops that we do free, we haven't figured out how to do all of this for nothing yet. And we are settled for the next 6 months, except for a week in Miami. And it sounds like we might bring in, there's some folks that are stirring up around here, that we might do one or two workshops in this area, in the Ellenton, Florida area. But we've got 1 week of workshops in January in South Florida, in Miami, Hollywood. And then we'll be doing a month of intensives in Orlando in February. But otherwise, we're sitting still and writing. And if this work has impacted your life and supporting your life, and you'd like to support us in being able to take things to the next level, we're working on new social media skills, on completing 10 new hours of video that will be, we've actually been editing today again. And you'd like to support us, we'd be appreciative if you went to www.whyagain.org, and there's a donate button, and you can click that button. It'll take you to PayPal. You don't need PayPal. You can use any credit card to do a donation. And when you do that, if we're friends of yours and it's a gift to us, if you mark it a gift to friends, then PayPal doesn't take a percentage off the top. So if you want to support us with that and send us a gift that will help to carry the expense of taking the next 6 months off to write, which means, of course, we don't create a lot of cash flow, that would be very helpful, and we'd appreciate it. And beyond that, in February, we'll start on February the 1st. We've got this awesome house. We went over this weekend to look at the house. Absolutely beautiful, 7-bedroom, huge, beautiful house that we've got for the intensives in February. February 1st, we'll start with a 9-day, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? A 9-day Codependence to Interdependence Communication Practicum. And then that 9-day, for those who want to stay longer, will turn into a 16-day. And then beginning on the 17th of February, we'll do a 16-day Laws of Living. So if you're ready to take your work to the next level, come and join us for an intensive in February. And beyond that, we hold the space that your holy days are holy, that you have an awesome healing process that happens as you connect with family. If there's any old trauma hanging around, that you're able to process through it, free yourself, free your family system, free your genetics, which will free your future generations, and create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.